Luke chapter 2, Christmas season. I want to preach on the day after Christmas. And the only time I can do that is when we're in church the day after Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They left, they went back, and they told what they had seen and what they had heard. I want to try to preach this evening on the day after Christmas. What happened after Christmas? We are now post-Christmas, past it, by it. It says they returned, but they returned in a different way. Not that they traveled a different way necessarily, but that they were different. And Christmas ought to make a difference in us. But as I find out, as I look in these verses, even though there were some differences, there were also some similarities. There were some things they were still doing after Christmas. I want to say first, some kept seeking. In verses 15 and 16, it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Their Christmas season, if you will, was spent seeking the Lord. But when they found him and saw who he was, that fact of seeking did not cease. They kept seeking him, and we certainly ought to do the same thing. We ought to be seeking the Lord on the day after Christmas. We should keep seeking him. Some have been seeking and looking and expecting someone else in the last few days. And we recognize that, but the Lord is the one that has come to visit us during the Christmas season. And the seeking aspect of our walk with the Lord should never cease. It has this idea of a desire. They sought him because they wanted to see him. They had heard something that had stricken and had stirred their interest, and they came seeking. That desire pulled them. That desire prodded them. And there's no doubt that when we come to seeking the Lord, desire is important. That desire for him, to know him better, to love him more, to understand more about him, to experience more with him. We should still be seeking the Lord after Christmas, not just that babe in a manger, but the Lord on the cross and the victor on the other side of the tomb. We should be seeking him. I say again, that desire is what makes a difference, that hunger. It is the fuel that keeps us going, just like hunger. When you're hungry, it drives you to do what's necessary to get the food that you desire and need. It drives you to cook the meal or to go to the store or to go to the restaurant and get what it takes to eat. And that's what we're finding here with seeking the Lord. It has the idea of seeking. It has the idea of desire. But what about when you don't want to? I think everybody here knows what it's like to not want to pray or not have a desire to seek him in reading the Bible, or perhaps even lose our desire to seek him by coming to church. We need to be careful about losing our desire, because that again is that fuel that helps us to do what we should. It's like the gas in the tank of your car. You keep running it out and not fill it up, and you'll be stopped beside the roadside somewhere sooner or later. And that desire that we talk about by seeking Him, that hunger for Him, is so important. I tell you this, I've said this before. Every person out of church tonight, somewhere in their past, lost the desire for church and didn't handle it rightly. Lost the desire of seeking the Lord. No longer cared about prayer or Bible reading or church or Christians or whatever. And when they lost that desire, they did not handle it rightly, and it has now has taken them out of the church and who knows where and who knows what. I say it's important to seek Him, and seeking Him involves desire or determination. For there are times when you don't want to, but you know you should, so you just say, Lord, help me to do it whether I want to or not. And I said not long ago, I think perhaps that is even more faithful in doing what we do not want to do and lack the desire for. When I want to, it's fairly easy. When I'm longing for something, it makes it easier to do it. But when I don't really want to and I know I need to and I do it, I believe that even maybe pleases the Lord more. When I don't want to pray, but I need to and know I need to, and I pray anyway, I believe that pleases Him. And when I don't want to read, but I know I need to read, and I read anyway, I think that pleases Him. And come to church and on and on and on and on. I'm talking about some kept seeking Him. Not only did some keep seeking, talk about the day after Christmas, what happened after His birth. Well, the shepherds here left and went back home. After His birth, after they saw Him, after they experienced that manger scene, some kept seeking and some kept serving. Look in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now, this word here we have from Mary deals with the birth of Christ. And the angel has just said, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be a different kind of baby. He's going to be a baby who does not have an earthly father. And she knew what was coming. She knew the ridicule. She knew the questions about, well, how did this lady get expecting a baby when she's not married? Well, we know what happened. That was the common conversation. But she was willing to take the shame, and she's saying here, as far as taking the shame of all that they think there's an illegitimate child, she says, so be it under thy handmaid. But she didn't stop after she didn't just have the baby and lay it in the manger and walk off. She raised the child. She loved the child. Could I say it? It's true. She went all the way to the cross with this boy. I'm saying she kept serving Him after the Christmas experience, after the birth of Christ. She said, so be it unto thy handmaid, about the birth, but also about the ridicule and the hurt and the harm and the cross. She kept serving Him. She, in essence, is saying, I am your servant. Do with me as you please. Do you hear that? Oh, what should we be doing the day after Christmas? We should be doing exactly what Mary was doing. Lord, here am I. Whatever you want to do with me is okay, for I am your servant. I am your child, and I am your friend, and I am your sheep, but I am your servant, and I am a steward of that you've given me. And you have made it very clear in the Bible that I will be judged, or I will be accountable for how I have been faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. As I go back to what I was thinking a minute ago, He does never require that we want to or we long to. Now, it's good if we do, but that's not a requirement. He has never required that we be excited about serving the Lord. If we are, that's wonderful. We should be, by the way, but that's not a requirement. But He has required that we be faithful, that we keep serving Him no matter what. No matter what he asks of us, no matter what we're confronted with, no matter what battles come or go, we are to keep serving him. Some kept seeking and some kept serving. I say it before, I'll say it again. When we pray when we don't want to, that's serving him faithfully. Because it's right to pray and wrong not to. And when we serve him when we don't want to, it's good because it's right to serve him and it's wrong not to. So some kept serving him. Every morning we ought to get up and say, Lord, this is your day. This day belongs to you and so do I. Do with me what you will. Guide me where you want me to go. Direct my lips and help my desires and my motives and my deeds to be exactly what you desire them to be. Lord, I give you myself, for I am your servant. And when you pillow your head at night, you should say, and I should too, Lord, thank you for the day. And get up the next morning and do the same thing again. I'm talking about some kept serving. Some kept seeking and some kept serving. I say in verse 17, some kept silent. Look in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now here's some who are telling, here's some who are speaking, here's some who are saying and showing what they have seen and what they have heard. They're telling what they know about the Lord. So some are speaking, but a whole lot of people aren't speaking. We read about some that do, but there's a whole lot of people who don't. There are some who saw the birth and saw the baby, and they went back home and never told anybody. There's some who kept silent. They had a message to tell, but they didn't. They had seen a sight that was amazing, and they told no one. They saw God in flesh and kept it between themselves and their friend. They did not go and spread the word, these shepherds did, but many did not. They had experienced something and seen something and heard something that they should have been telling everybody, but they weren't. They were silent. They kept silent. Not everyone told. And I say it's a disgrace to not tell. I woke up this morning and I woke up the first time about 2:30, the last time about 4 o'clock. Finally just went ahead and got up. And one of the things the Lord touched my heart early in the morning was, you really need to witness more. You really need to tell people about me more. You don't do that enough. And he sure is right. For I have seen and I have experienced and I have enjoyed so much from the Lord. I ought to be telling everybody I know. And so should you. I'm talking about what happened after Christmas, the day after Christmas. Some kept seeking and some kept serving and some kept silent. It's kind of like those that were going through all the goods and the spoils, and they said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And they went and told. And this is a day of good tidings to lost people. There's a way of forgiveness. For hell-bound sinners, there's a way to escape and go to heaven. For people in mourning, for people in sin, for people who are hurting, there's a way of deliverance. We have a good message that works, and we ought to tell everybody we know. Some kept silent. Some kept seeking, and some kept serving, and some kept silent. I say number 4, some kept sinning. Look at Herod. You don't have to turn. I'll be there. Matthew 2:7 and 8. And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, this is later on, of course, a couple of years later, perhaps. When he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Well, you old fibber, you. You're not telling the truth. He wasn't wanting to worship. He's wanting to put this little baby to death. After the birth, after Christmas, the day after Christmas, he's still, even though now it's still, it's been 2 years and he's still mad. It's been close to 2 years. We know that because of how he put had all the male children from 2 years old and down put to death from the time that he knew the child was born, making sure he got rid of this little boy, he thought. And all these months have gone by, and yes, even a couple of years have gone by, and he's still just as scared of this so-called king of the Jews and just as mad as someone who may dare to come and take his throne. So he's still sinning. It looks like even Herod would say, "Oh, king of the Jews, perhaps I ought to find out more about him. He's a Christ child. He's the Lord. He's God from heaven. Maybe I ought to listen a little bit instead of talking. Maybe I ought to listen." But he keeps on sinning. He keeps on doing the wrong thing. Matthew 2:12 says, "Being warned of God in a dream that should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country." Another way, that's getting these men that have come to check up on this child. And the Lord warns them and says, "You better stay away from Herod." You know why? He's mad. He's angry. Matthew 2:16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and sent all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Says there he had all the children from 2 years old and under put to death. What a wicked man. Could have said like this, Christmas didn't affect him one bit to the good. He's still sinning. He's still rotten. He's still wicked. He's still selfish. He's still thinking about number one. And by the way, that's how Christmas can be if we're not careful. Think about what I'm getting, what I'm going to get, what I receive, and forget about everybody else, including the Lord. Here's this man that's just so jealous of his throne. By the way, he had his brother-in-law killed and one of his wives killed and two of his sons killed to make sure they didn't get the throne. And if this little old baby here thinks he's going to get my throne, he's got another thing coming. I'm talking about a wicked man. You've heard me say it before. It's true. There was a saying of that day that it would be better to be Herod's pig than his son. Those may fear that his son would take the throne. That was the hatred this man had and the wickedness. And we surely see that everywhere today. And that's exactly what the Bible warns us about, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we're seeing that. I'm talking about what happened after Christmas. The day after Christmas, some were still seeking and some were still serving and some were still silent and some were still sinning and some were still listening, struggling. Struggling, I thought about this. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of Luke, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Oh, that was a heavy burden on these people. These were not rich people. Most of them were poor. Most of them were just barely making it by. And now there's another tax laid on them. And on top of that, they had to go to Jerusalem. A lot of them didn't even have the money to make that travel, to make the trip. It was a burden, struggle, another weight. But many of them came, and some of them heard about the Christ child and went home different, went home delivered. Some of them did, but many of them didn't. Many of them kept struggling. There was the truth of the Christ child in the manger that could provide forgiveness and peace and joy and contentment and relieving of burdens and peace and rest. And they looked and turned and walked off and kept on struggling. They had the offer of salvation. They had the offer of relief, the offer of peace, the offer of help. It was there. But they walked away and kept on struggling. And that happens every day, time after time after time after time, with lost people and with saved people. Lost people the Lord tries to deal with. I talked to my friend Sunday morning. One of the things he said, you keep praying for these two fellas. One of the things he says is, boy, I'll tell you one thing, we all need prayer. And I'll tell you what, I remember when I stumbled into the Little White Baptist Church 44 years ago, and one of my friends more or less asked me, what in the world are you doing here? And I didn't even know. I said, all I know is I need help. And I want to tell you, there's help to be had in the Lord. But people see that and walk away, keep on struggling. But save people. Oh, even in the family, God's grace is available. But we don't take it, we don't accept it, we don't believe it, we don't receive it, we don't apply it. And we struggle on in our own ability, we struggle on with our own plans. Excuse me, but that's dumb, but we do it. I'm talking about the day after Christmas. What difference did Christmas make in your life this year? Sure did make a difference in many lives years ago when the first Christmas took place. What effect will it happen? What effect will it accomplish? What effect will it have on us? Are you the same? Did you just eat, cook, clean, lay down, and it's over? Or did Christmas make a difference? It's supposed to make a difference. That little baby makes a difference. Let's stand together.